The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Well, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 105th edition of Dave's Gone By, an hour of talk radio, music, and comedy originating in my head and transmitted to you by mental telepathy, magic, and mini-discs via AM 1240 WGBB Radio in New York and AM 1240WGBB.com all around the world. We are here every Thursday at 7, bringing you smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. And I know these are the grim times. The media tries to distract us from them with all this holiday stuff and Christmas shopping and fake good cheer crap. But we all know we're inching toward the deep freeze. It's still autumn, technically. Winter doesn't happen for a fortnight. And we've been quite lucky with the weather this fall. Some rainy days, some cold mornings, but we haven't had an early snowfall, no chilling October frost. And if anything, the weather in November was nicer and clearer and warmer than the weather in October. Oh, sure, the leaves are now off the trees and the warm days don't go much higher than 50. But hey, it's December. What do you expect? But that's the downer of this time of year, expectations. We know that January and February are lying in wait, ready to pounce with snowballs and ice picks. We gotta drag the heavy coats everywhere, even on the nice days, because you never know. I mean, remember that day last week when it started out pouring rain, then it got sunny and relatively mild for an hour, and then it became like a wind tunnel. What's up with that? Well, what's up is it's the end of fall, and we won't see light at the end of the Doppler tunnel until at least late February. And as I said, TV and magazines and newspapers have been trying to take our minds off the weather by getting us to buy stuff, by showing Santa Claus yachting it up in the frozen North Pole, by reminding us that a 20-degree day of sleet and snain isn't a problem at all when you're snuggled on the couch watching your new flat-screen TV, eating microwavable popcorn, wearing a brand-new rayon sweater, and flipping channels on your DirecTV satellite. Fair enough. We're a capitalist society, and everyone from the board members of Kmart to the stock boys of Walmart needs America to spend its pennies on necessities and idiocies. And I'm not going to do my usual seasonal rant about Christmas being turned into a suffocating secular holiday, or blast Home Shopping Network for starting to sell Christmas merchandise just after Labor Day, or radio stations that start playing Christmas music the goddamn mother effing day after Thanksgiving. No, I've done that rant. I've spoken that spiel. If you want to know how I really feel, just get back into some of my old shows. They're available on CD. And you can order them on my website, davesgoneby.com. They make a really good holiday gift, he said hypocritically, but they do. They're in nice jewel cases, they have track listings, and what nicer present can you give a friend or coworker than an hour of entertainment? Okay, so I'm guilty of the same greedy merchandising I'm accusing all these other places of. And I've got the dangling participle to prove it. But, you know, as an American, as a Jewish American, I resent the country going goy for a whole month every year. Our country is a non-sectarian band of states unified by a federal government based on humanistic, democratic, and capitalistic principles, unconnected, except in the most tenuous forms, to religion. Our pennies may read, "In God We Trust," but there ain't no cross on our flag, and I like it that way. And I live in a somewhat, Jewish community, but you don't see me forcing my neighbors to spin a dreidel every time they come down my block. Sounds dumb, right? So why should I have to listen to Christmas music every time I stand on a checkout line? I mean, you want to put up a pine tree and decorate your house? God bless you, have fun, it's your house. But the rest of America is my house. And my house doesn't celebrate the birth of Christ. My house goes about its business and tries not to piss off too many Christians. But anyway, I'm already getting on the rant, and I promise not to do this rant tonight. I've done my Christmas jeer. But what I wanted to do is something much more positive, something that is not artificial, but is a legitimate thing to be happy about in these dark days of almost winter. It's no magic trick. It's no object you can buy. It's no spiritual hoo-ha. Just a piece of what seems to be the truth. Now, if you live on the East Coast, the last week of October is a major bummer because that's when they turn the clocks back. Sure, you get an extra hour of sleep, which is nice, only it's the same hour they stole from you last spring. All they're doing is holding it and giving it back to you 6 months later with no interest. You get nothing out of it. It gives you a cranky Monday in the spring, and much worse, they fall back just when you'd be happy to have another hour of daylight. The weather's getting cold and gray, summer is a memory, and Christmas is 2 months away. And this is when the folks at the Time Bureau, or whoever, decide that the days should be even shorter than they already are. It's not enough that as you're heading out of the office, the sun has sunk in the west. No, now they have you waking up in darkness and retreating into darkness before you've even had your last cup of office coffee. And they do the time change just before Halloween. Not the week after, when it might be sensible, sort of. No, 3 days before parents send their children out on the streets to collect candy from strangers, this is when they take an extra hour of daylight away. I mean, how nuts is that? It's like a family closing up their summer house for the winter, stopping their mail, closing their water pipes, putting the thermostat down to 50, and doing this a week before they leave. I mean, timing isn't always everything, but it is when you're dealing with timing. But that's what I really want to get to. The fact that one of the most depressing things about the season is that the days are so short. That's why everybody's waiting for the winter solstice, a.k.a. the first day of winter. Because there are five things that carry people through the worst weeks of the season. Number one, Christmas, a.k.a. Hanukkah for the Goyim. Number two, New Year's. Number three, Groundhog Day, light at the end of the tunnel. Because even if it's bad news, and Punxsutawney Phil sees his shadow, it's just 6 more weeks. It's a finite period of time that's already in February, so it feels like the final turn toward the finish line. Anyway, that's number three. Number four, the Super Bowl. Even if the game sucks, we have Janet Jackson's breasts to keep us warm. And then the fifth, and perhaps most important thing to get us through the winter, the days get longer. There's more light. There's more day. I think psychiatrists have proved that people deprived of daylight are more likely to be depressed and logy and overweight and unhappy and unhealthy. And winter days are cold and short. However, once you get past the first day of winter, day by day you keep tacking on a couple more minutes before the sun goes down. Even by late January, instead of 4:30, the sky is staying light until 5 or so. Now, it's not much. But by late January, it's nice to have a hopeful sign of anything, so a little extra sunlight will certainly do the trick. Now, here's the beauty part. Here's what I discovered a couple of years ago to give everybody a boost right now. Now, this may not go for the whole country or the whole world or even much past the East Coast, but if you're in New York and environs, according to my calculations and my calendars, yesterday, December 8th, was the shortest day of the year. That's right. Not December 21st, not the first day of winter, but last night. Which means that starting tonight, the days get ever so slightly longer. Don't you feel better already? Now, I'm not just asking you to take this on faith or make believe this is the truth. I'm going by the U.S. Navy calendar on all this, which charts the sunrise and sunset and how seedlings turn overnight to sunflowers as well. But I first noticed this a couple of years ago, looking at the Jewish calendar to check on holidays. Now, Jewish holidays, of course, officially start the night before the actual day. Same with the weekly Sabbath. The holiday begins when the sun goes down, continues into the next day, and ends when the sun sets the following evening. And Jewish calendars will therefore list the sunset times on Friday nights so people know when to light the Shabbos candles. Well, I went paging through the calendar one day, and very logically, as the weather got warmer, the candle lightings got later and later. Conversely, when you hit the high holidays in the early fall, each week the lighting times would be earlier because the days would be shorter. And it all made perfect sense. Except, well, I would look at the first day of summer and the first day of winter, and I would see that the candle lighting times for that week, and weirdly enough, it wasn't quite the earliest or latest time. That would happen about 2 to 3 weeks before, which meant that the two extremes of when the sun was setting, earlier or later, wasn't exactly happening on the day when we've been taught it was supposed to happen. Solstice, it literally means sun standing still, sol stasis. But I guess that takes time. So, if you look at the Navy's standard time calendar, what you see is that on December 1st, the sun set at 4:29 p.m. in New York. The next day, December 2nd, the sun went down at 4:28, 1 minute earlier. Okay, the day is still getting shorter, but not by much. And then December 3rd, 4:28 again. And December 4th, 4:28. The sun is not moving. The length of the day is remaining virtually the same, and it stays 4:28 all the way through next Tuesday, December 14th. And then, on December 15th, 4:29, 1 minute later. 1 minute more of daylight. Now, there are 13 days when the sunset arrives exactly 4:28 p.m., December 2nd through December 14th. Now, since before those 2 weeks, the days were getting shorter, and after that time block, the days get longer, it stands to reason that from December 2nd through December 7th, days are shortening, if only by a few seconds, and from the 9th to the 14th, they're getting ever so slightly longer. And the day in the middle is the real solstice, at least for those of us in the Big Apple. And so, I say, take heart. Everybody suffering from seasonal colds, everyone battling mild depression, everyone wondering how much longer before spring training and the crocuses pop up, I say, look at your calendar and see the days are already starting to get longer. We're beginning to tilt just a tinge closer to the sun. We may not feel it in the weather. It may not stop us from getting a couple of whopper snowstorms and a bone-chilling cold snap or two. But at least, when all else fails, and we wonder if we can tolerate another long, dreary winter, we can look up at the sky, not for God, not in dread of terrorist airplanes, not for traffic copters in search of icy accidents, but just at the light, that lucky old sun beaming us a couple of extra minutes on the tail end of our day. Of course, for early risers, it stays darker later in the morning, but we don't care about that. Nothing like science to ruin a perfectly good platitude. But don't worry, I have others. I'm a platitude with plenty of attitude that I dispense with gratitude to this radio station, to my sponsors, TotalTheater.com, publishers of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, and Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of the South Shore. And gratitude to you, my listeners, for sticking with this show through more than 2 years of rants, raves, chants, and Daves. Dave being me, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist, making each show a little bit of everything. Tonight, well, you heard my bit about sunlight. Later on, I'm going to be in a darker frame of mind, however, with a Dave Goes Off segment about smoking. Now, I vaguely remember going off on an anti-smoking riff many months ago. I think it was tied to Mayor Bloomberg's raft of anti-smoking laws, most of which were welcome, a few of which were draconian, but all of which have probably led to a better quality of life for those of us who don't smoke. But I have new reason to rampage tonight, when I was reminded firsthand why smokers can bitch all they want, but us clean, breathable air people have to flock together. Which is a really lame segue into another segment on Dave's Gone By Tonight, Inside Broadway, our weekly look at New York theater and the big shows on and off Broadway. Tonight is the opening night for the 20th anniversary revival of La Cage aux Folles, which, loosely translated, means birds of a feather. See? Flock together? Told you it was a desperate segue. Anyway, La Cage is one of the most beloved musicals of the last couple of decades, with a score by the great Jerry Herman and a book by the one and only Harvey Fierstein. And I hope you got to hear Harvey, or at least a reasonable facsimile, chatting with Peter Fitzgerald last week on the show. In case you still haven't heard the news, Harvey is going into Fiddler on the Roof next month as Tevye. I wonder what cigarettes Fiddler's producers were smoking. No, but seriously, it might turn out to be brilliant casting, and Harvey has surprised us in the past, so who knows. But before he goes into Fiddler, his Tony-winning La Cage opens at the Marquee Theater tonight, so we'll talk about that on Inside Broadway. Also, a couple of off-Broadway shows that might catch your fancy, including one with pretty girls in it. Ooh, we've got all that. Plus the weekly news going by, a look at current events, line by line by punchline. It's sort of a weekend update meets The Daily Show meets Mort Sahl. The format's not new, but the jokes are. Well, maybe the jokes aren't so new either, but damn it, we'll dust them off and try and make them funny anyway. So, Fiddler on the Roof, smoking on the stage, and humor in the news all in the hour ahead. I'll bet you're starting to feel more daylight already. So sit back, or sit forward, whichever you prefer. Keep your dial at AM 1240 from now till 8 p.m. If your kids are listening, be aware that some of the content is a little dark, or, as we say, is rated DGB 13. Nothing too out there to worry the FCC, though we sure are tempted to moon Colin Powell's son, but we always think better of it in the bright light of day. And it's just these ruminations that aid our illumination of the human nation on this booming station. Dave's gone by. Now till 8 o'clock. Stay with us.
Oh my God, this is terrible.
What?
There are 168 hours in a week, but Dave's Gone By is only 1 hour long.
I know, I'm just on Thursday night.
That's not enough!
Well, why don't you get my CDs?
CDs?
All my complete shows are on compact disc, $14 a piece or less if you buy a bunch. Just go to davesgoneby.com, fully packaged, and they make a nice gift, too.
Well, my depression is cleared!
Great!
But not my psychosis! What chicken is this?
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. A gay musical on Broadway? No. I mean, gay people in musicals, of course. That's been the unspoken status quo since the 1950s. But a big commercial musical about homosexuals in 1983? Looking back 21 years later, it's almost funny that Jerry Herman and Harvey Fierstein and the original producers of La Cage aux Folles had doubts whether audiences would accept a gay musical comedy. Sure, the gay rights movement had long taken hold, and Broadway had already seen As Is and Torch Song Trilogy and experimental gay shows back in the 1960s. Not to mention the closeted queer subtexts and urtexts in works by Tennessee Williams, William Inge, Simon Gray, Terrence McNally, and Edward Albee. But most of the gay people depicted in these shows were not happy and. Even in the groundbreaking A Chorus Line, it wasn't so much about the outside world making gays miserable as it was about gays being neurotic and tortured all by themselves. Could Broadway theatergoers handle a zany, farcical musical about two comfortably gay, middle-aged men. Men who love each other in just the way an old married straight couple would, with all the requisite squabbles and reconciliations and the memories. In fact, one of the men even dresses like a housewife. The writers of La Cage knew they had one thing going for them. The movie. Edouard Molinaro's 1978 comedy remains one of the most successful foreign films of all time. Think of it as the My Big Fat Greek Wedding of its era, only more groundbreaking because, well, Greeks didn't have quite the same social barriers to overcome. Well, unless they were doing it Greek style, ha ha ha. But be that as it may, the material just seemed unnatural for Jerry Herman's sunny, romantic, and anthemic songs, and Harvey Fierstein was the perfect librettist to give the show just the right balance of kookiness and heart, not to mention making a musical about stereotypes that doesn't cross the dangerous line into mockery. Jerry Herman has often been quoted as saying that he knew La Cage the musical would work when he saw a typical middle-class audience walk in during previews, and the men would be kind of cold and a little worried about what they'd be seeing on stage. But then they laughed a bit, and by the time Renato and Albin sang their romantic song on the sand, these long-married couples in the audience were holding hands with nostalgic smiles on their faces, and Herman knew they were hooked, and that all boundaries of bias and fear had been transcended by music.
Do you recall that windy little beach we walked along that afternoon in fall? That afternoon we met a fellow with a concertina sang. What was the song? It's strange what we recall and odd what we forget. I heard la da 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 as we walked on the sand. I heard la da da da. I believe it was early September. Through the crash of the waves, I could tell that the words were romantic. Something about sharing, something about always. Though the years race along, I still think of our song on the sand. And I still try and search for the words I can barely remember. Though the time tumbles by, there is one thing that I am forever certain of. I hear la da 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 da, and I'm yours.
Song on the Sand from the original cast of La Cage aux Folles. George Hearn doing the singing honors there. And there is a revival of La Cage aux Folles opening on Broadway tonight, December 9th, at the Marriott Marquis. Playing the aging lovers in this version are Gary Beach, who won a Tony Award for playing a very gay Hitler in The Producers, and Daniel Davis. He's best known for playing Niles on The Nanny, and he's also done a lot of theater recently, including The Frogs and the Alan Bennett evening, Talking Heads. In the two decades since La Cage's Tony-winning premiere, has the Broadway landscape changed for gay-themed musicals? Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Just look at last season, Taboo, about Boy George, The Boy from Oz, about Peter Allen, Avenue Q, where half the characters are gay, bisexual, or just perverse. You still have the long-running Rent and Producers, and the cross-dressing Hairspray. So if anything, the question about this revival of La Cage aux Folles isn't whether Broadway audiences are ready for it, but whether it holds up as a modern classic, whether it will seem too old-fashioned, or whether it will be fresh and funny, or just nostalgic and mildly amusing. Broadway has yet to score a breakout musical hit this season, new or old, so the theater is really going to be watching closely. And they'll be reading closely all the important journals, like the New York Times, and Variety, Backstage, and Performing Arts Insider. That's right. If you want the review, read the Times. If you want to check the grosses, read Variety. If you want to audition, read Backstage. And if you want all the other information about a show, what it's about, who's in it, how to contact the actors and producers and managers and press agents, how's the show doing? All those questions are answered show by show in Performing Arts Insider. It has been a Broadway Bible for more than 60 years, and it's bigger and more comprehensive than ever. It's also expensive, but Dave's Gone By listeners get a 10% discount. So subscribe today, or give a gift subscription to the theater lover on your Hanukkah list. 516-295-1511 is the number to call. 516-295-1511, or email paipress@aol.com. paipress@aol.com. If you're not sure and want to see just one copy of Performing Arts Insider before you decide to subscribe, just send $10, check or money order, to Togo Theater, and you'll get the newest issue with all the most current information. Call 516-295-1511 or visit TogoTheater.com for all the details on Performing Arts Insider. It's Broadway the best way. Returning to Inside Broadway on Dave's Gone By, a couple of off-Broadway shows to tell you about. The Women's Project has a new musical going up called The Best of Both Worlds. It's an adaptation of Shakespeare's The Winter's Tale, created by the same folks who turned A Midsummer Night's Dream into The Donkey Show. No surprise, then, that Best of Both Worlds takes place in the land of Groovonia and features a funky gospel score to get your toes tapping and your heart pumping. And, frankly, a little more than your heart that's pumping from another off-Broadway show opening tomorrow night, Pieces of Ass. That is the name of the show. Pieces of Ass at Dodger Stages on West 50th Street. Actually, the show played off-Broadway for several weeks last year, and then it did really well in California, so now it's back Appleside. And even though the show has rotating cast members, it continues to ask the same basic question. What is it like being a really hot-looking girl? I quote the press release. It's a series of original monologues delivered by a cast of the country's hottest actresses that goes beyond the mirror to show the perks and privileges, problems and pressures of being a babe. If you want to get a pre-look at some of the actresses, past and present in the show, yes, there is a website, and no, they're not naked. You can go to piecesofass.com, all one phrase, piecesofass.com, and see reviews, bios, and, yes, pictures. Just like with the show, you're allowed to ogle, but maybe you'll also listen, sympathize, and admire. Ah, hell, they had me with the ogle.
We've just been inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider. I've been telling you for months why you should use Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your copying and printing needs, but here's one of the owners, Mike Toron, to tell you why.
Hi, how you doing? At Minuteman Press, our ultimate goal is service. We are your best source for the most complete line of printed products. You can check us out on the web at www.hewlett.minutemanpress.com.
Did you know Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By is not just a radio personality? He's also a playwright. And his book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor he brings to his show every week. Funny, sad, and true. At only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World makes a great gift. So get your copy today. Call 516-295-1511. That's 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com.
Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off. Dave goes off.
Dave goes off indeed. Off on a topic, off on a rant, off on something that is kind of on my mind that I want to get off my chest. And folks who have listened to this show for a long time probably remember that a couple of years ago, I did a bit on smoking or anti-smoking when Mayor Bloomberg was coming up with all these somewhat draconian laws of banning people from smoking in public places. Now, I hate smoking and never did smoke and despise it when I get secondhand smoke. So I'm certainly thrilled that, you know, you don't have to go into a restaurant and deal with it. And even in a bar. I mean, I know we tend to think of bars and cigarettes as going together. But I'm sure there are a lot of people who are pretty happy now to be able to sit back and enjoy a glass of wine or a beer or a scotch or whatever or a conversation and not have somebody else's camels or Pall Malls being wafted into their face. So, anyway, I did my bit and haven't really thought that much about it until this week when I went to see a Broadway show called Democracy that I'd really been looking forward to. It was a new play, actually a London hit, by writer Michael Frayn. He's just a brilliant writer. He also wrote Noises Off and the beautiful play Copenhagen that was on Broadway a couple of years ago. Anyway, this one is all about the intrigues, political intrigues of East and West Germany during the era of Chancellor Herr Willebrand and his incredible rise to the top and magnetism and then his immediate and precipitous fall, quite self-inflicted because of a spy scandal and mistresses. And it's all about the spying not only from East Germany on him, but within his own cabinet, the intrigues there of trying to bring him down. So you have to pay attention and you have to listen carefully for about 3 hours. And for the most part, you're able to do that. And in the first act, there's one scene where Richard Thomas, who plays the new spy who's going to become Willy Brandt's assistant and basically spy on him directly. And he's in a cafe and he's smoking. And it's kind of annoying because Thomas is on stage left, which is the audience's right. And I happen to have a good seat. I was like 6 rows in from the orchestra. He was on our side. And the smoke was coming at us pretty strong, and it was annoying, but the first act, I didn't think about it much. And then, again, in the second act, towards the end of the second act, for about 10 to 15 minutes, when you're really trying to pay attention, and it's getting kind of sad, and you really have to be into the play, here's Richard Thomas, and he's chain-smoking cigarettes, and, I mean, he's going through a very bad time, and that's part of his character. But they're real cigarettes, and they must be the most acrid and smoky and awful. They're not like the herbal ones that they usually seem to use on stage. And he you know, you're waiting for him to finish one so the scene will stop, and then he just lights up another. And here I am, you know, in the sixth row, and the smoke is just coming right at me, and it's really unpleasant. I've got, like, my handkerchief up in front of my face, and I'm not the only one. Like, two other people are next to me in the row, an elderly woman. One also has a kerchief in front of her face, and then the woman on the aisle, she is taking her little kerchief and starts waving it in front of her face to dissipate the smoke, which is distracting, possibly, to the actors, and certainly to, like, all the people around her, including me, because I can see her out the corner of my eye. So I'm sitting there trying to concentrate on this difficult drama with a hanky in front of my mouth, over my nose, one hand over my eye so I don't see this woman waving a scarf by my head, and then, you know, trying to get back into the play for the last scene. So, you know, I think, since this is theater, they can probably pantomime smoking cigarettes. They don't have to use real ones anymore. That is a suggestion that I would make, you know, and I now also understand why theaters sometimes list when you go in if a show is going to, you know, have gunshots, which I really hate in the theater, or strobe lights for people who have pacemakers and are bothered by that, or dry ice or whatever. Now, I really understand why they warn if a show's going to have smoking in it, but by gosh, anybody in the first few rows of that play really had their experience partially ruined by cigarettes. So I just want to recommend to the producers of the show to rethink how to do that, and to producers of other shows, even in a big Broadway theater, that there's got to be some other way.
I hated my first cigarette. I ask you, how dumb can you get? I thought I was so nonchalant, but now it's the last thing I want. I'm chewing my nails, I'm having all kinds of withdrawal symptoms. If only I'd never begun. Why wasn't I told when I was young? Give it up, give it up.
I listen to Bonnie D. Graham on GBB at 6 o'clock, that's where I am. She talks to people about romance and amour, and how to pick up guys without being a whore. Then Saturdays, tune in for fun at 5:30. Mikey and Jimmy doing crazy comedy. At 7:30, Mr. Redman's music show is where the hot new rock and roll musicians go. And if you're sick, well, you will start feeling a lot weller on Wednesday nights if you tune in to Joyce Keller. She is a psychic who gives live call-in advice. She's entertaining and she's very, very nice. She's the genius, the radio star. KBOM is where we are. Dave's Gone By on Thursday nights. Music and jokes with satirical bites. Also on Thursdays, if you're looking for some fun, at 6 o'clock, tune in to Larry David's Son. And after Dave, you'll hear the best in modern jazz. At 8 p.m., that's just what Mike Shemary has. And don't forget, on Sunday nights, it's Joe Saldone. For right-wing politics, he's really quite well-known. He's on at 7 with his own take on the news. And just like Dave, he does a bunch of interviews. GBB is a radio star. And it's home for you, that's where we are. Fill her up Thursdays at 9. It's an hour of Dave at a different time. GBB is the radio star. GBB is the radio star. GBB is the And now on Dave's Gone By, in honor of the holiday, our favorite man of the cloth, Rabbi Saul Solomon, returns to ask the question, Hanukkah, is it good for the Jews? Shalom, goddammit! This is Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And I'm here with a few moments of Talmudic reasoning, of intellectual scrutiny, and of neurotic complaining, as I ask and answer the question, is it good for the Jews? And tonight, the Jeopardy reply that we give to that $2,000 question is Hanukkah. The Festival of Lights, the second happiest holiday on the Jewish calendar, is Hanukkah good for the Jews? Now, on a surface level, the answer is yes, of course it's good for the Jews. What, you stupid? It's 8 days of presents, you get to light candles, sing songs, eat latkes, and we commemorate how a small band of Hebrews led by Judah Maccabee took back the great temple from the Syrians and the Greeks. When they got to the synagogue, it was all defiled. It was worse than a Shriners' convention at the Holiday Inn. Everything was smashed and broken. There were pigs being roasted on sacrificial altars. The garments of the high priests were all shredded and used for sexual handcuffs and tampons. All right, that part may be an embellishment, but goddammit, it was a mess. So, the Maccabees are looking around the remains of the Holy Temple, and they don't know where the hell to start first. And for a minute, they think, oh, let's call Merry Maids. And then they realized Merry Maids would not be incorporated for another 2,000 years. And besides, they don't really do that good a job anyway. So, the priests have to clean up the temples themselves. And most of all, they have to relight the great lantern. But there's no oil. OPEC has an embargo. And the little oil they find is impure. It's made of hog fat and cow manure and chicken semen, which burns very bright with the smell. So they go looking desperately for some pure olive oil. But Papa won't give her up, so they are in deep shit. But Wong Maccabee notices a secret hiding passage. And in there is a jug with a couple of drops of sanctified lantern oil. They light it up, expecting it to last half a day, maybe a day. Instead, it lasts for 8 days. The LIPA bill was tremendous, but imagine the joy and wonder at witnessing this miraculousness. And so, we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 full celebratory days of celebration. And this is good for the Jews, because we live our lives in such nervousness and misery and fear that they have a week when we can let our beards down and it's a machaya, if you know what I'm saying. However, nothing exists in a vacuum. Well, maybe Donald Rumsfeld, but other than him, everything functions within the context of the outer world. And so, in America, Hanukkah can't just stand alone and be its own minor but delightful Jewish festival. Because it happens to fall within the same month as, you should pardon the expression, Christmas. Now understand, the Goyim mean well. They realize they're in a bind because they're Christians living in a country that has to be open to every other religion, whether they like it or not. Also, by law, the Goyim can't Christianize America. It's in the Constitution. They have to tolerate us. And for the sake of selling us crap, even make believe they like us. So what do? They don't want us to feel guilty about not having a stake in Christmas. Here's this big, shiny holiday with a delicious meal and Christmas carols and Santa Claus and a big tree and expensive gifts and... Oh, that's it. I'm converting. Oh, just kidding. That's like a little... But you can understand the appeal to our children, to anyone bombarded by the advertising and shop displays and music on the radio and good cheer. Let's face it. Even on Hanukkah, Jews are still vaguely worried and grouchy. It's in our nature. And besides, little Yankel feels just fine about getting a dollar and a handful of chocolate money. Until he crosses the street and sees little Timothy with a $20 and a new PlayStation. So, to the best of intentions, the Goyim have forced the Jews to ratchet up the importance of Hanukkah. We have electric menorahs and blue and white decorations, and you have to give a bigger gift on the first day. You go into stores and banks, and everything is very balanced.
Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. And please, don't spray paint our apartment buildings on Kwanzaa. And while there's nothing wrong with our neighbors recognizing us in this way, and there is certainly nothing wrong with making Hanukkah more fun and high profile to our own people, it is bad for the Jews in the sense that we don't want to lose the uniqueness of our own holiday. Hanukkah and Christmas are not one big festival. If it were, they would call it Christmagah. Yes, they both involve food and presents and playing games and having to kiss great aunts you don't even want to touch. But when a Jewish boy chick points at a Christmas tree, he has to realize it is not just a tree. It's a symbol of something German, of all things. When St. Boniface cut down an oak tree and a fir tree sprang up out of it. And when a Jewish girl sees Santa Claus, he's not just some out-of-work alcoholic making extra money at the mall. No, he's the embodiment of the Turkish Saint Nicholas, who gave a lot of gifts to children, and he didn't even molest them, that we know of. Well, maybe he had a secret room in his yurt. And when a Jewish family hears Silent Night on the television, it's not just a pretty tune about a round young virgin. It was written by a priest in the early 1800s to celebrate the night you-know-who popped out of Mary's love hatch. So, to lump Christmas and Hanukkah together like meatloaf and stew waters down the meatloaf and, well, probably improves the stew, so that's a bad metaphor. But still, they are not the same thing. A Jewish family buying a Christmas tree is like our family of chickens buying a pet fox. Oh, it seems harmless and cute, but you wake up one morning, and all that's left are chicken feathers and a couple of beaks. Remember, the letters on a dreidel are Nun, Gimel, He, Shin. There's no J for Jesus. There's no C for Christmas. There's no C for Hanukkah either, but that's different. Besides, it wouldn't be a C. It would be a Chet for the Chuch. But there's no hook on a dreidel eagle. Well, if there were, you would have to wipe it off with a napkin or something. Anywho, I think I've made my point. That Hanukkah could and should be good for the Jews. But if you don't watch out, it could boomerang and backfire and burn you like hot wax when you hold the shamash tilted and it runs down your fingers. And it's not sexy like in the movies when, like, the naked chicks do the candle wax thing on their boyfriends. No, it's painful and disfiguring and messy. So, keep Christmas and Hanukkah separate. If you walk under a mistletoe, don't kiss nobody. Take a dump under it. If carolers come to your door on Christmas Eve, greet them with a vat of hot soup on their heads. And if you see a little drummer boy, kill him and use his blood for matzah. No, I'm kidding. That is an old, terrible stereotype. Jews do not use the blood of Christian children to make Passover matzah. I mean, if we did, it would be red, right? Or at least a little pink. But no, matzah, as we all know, is white and brownish beige. There is no children's blood in it at all. However, bone marrow. All right, I've said too much. This is Rabbi Saul Solomon, wishing you a most happy and traditional Hanukkah on behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, our 19 and three-quarter children, Nehemia, Josiah, Shloimi, Chana, Rivki, Yehuda, Moshe, Cheskel, Baruch, Avigdor, Yisrael, Hepzibah, Shaul, Aliza, Shimon, Gedalia, Naftali the Elder, Naftali the Younger, and Fred, by my first marriage, and the fetus Beryl, who is starting the crown. I leave you with this poem. Spin the dreidel, light the lights. Hanukkah's here for 8 straight nights. If the candle won't fit, then twist and jam it. Chag Sameach to you. Good night, goddammit. Is it good for the Jews? Do we win? Do we lose? Should we laugh? Should we cry? 666, or maybe high. Is it righteous? Is it wrong? Is it relevant to this song? Weigh the subjects and the clues that they pertain to Jews. Ask the Rebbe, ask the Boyle. Is it good? much for Israel. Do we dance or sing the blues? Is it good, God damn it, for the Jews? Does it mummify or does it harm? Does it qualify for alarm? Is the danger far or near? Is it joy or oy vey mir? Is it heaven? Is it hell? Do we gasp or do we quell? A mound of gold or a pile of shoes? Is it good?
Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
Welcome back to this smoke-free episode of Dave's Gone By. Got to thank a bunch of folks before we go, including my terrific sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week for every copying, printing, and shipping job, no matter how big or small. TotalTheater.com, publishers of Performing Arts Insider, Theater Magazine, telling you everything about Broadway and beyond. Remember, both Minuteman and Total Theater give you 10% off all prices when you mention Dave's Gone By. And you can get to their homepages and all their information through the Dave's Gone By website, davesgoneby.com. That is also the place to get a copy of this episode of the show, number 105. You get the whole program on CD, complete with jewel case, track listings, a nice cover. Usually it costs $14, but for the holidays, just $12. $12 for any episode of Dave's Gone By, and we have more than 60 of them to choose from, including every single episode that aired this year. You can see what was on all the episodes at davesgoneby.com, which one had Neil Sedaka, which ones had comedy sketches with Peter Fitzgerald, which ones had rants about LIPA or the Long Island Railroad, and again, any show you want, uncut, on CD, $12, postage included, but add a dollar if you want it personally autographed. It's a great gift idea, as is my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. Cover-to-cover comedy, little playlets, and also a full-length, award-winning farce. If you like what I do on here, a lot of it is scripted, just the way the book is, so it's just more of me in a different form, like inhaling alcohol instead of ingesting it rectally. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, on sale for the holidays, $18 for hardcover, only $10 for trade paperback through December 31st. Learn more at davesgoneby.com. And listen more to WGBB, celebrating its 80th birthday next week. Congratulations. And, there are other shows besides this one that you just might get a kick out of. The most obvious is Filler Up. That's an hour of eclectic music, Thursday nights at 9. It's rock, folk, standards, reggae, jazz. It's a true musical mix, and the host is just fantastic. Very knowledgeable, very fun to listen to, very me. Yeah, the host of Filler Up is yours truly, Dave Lefkowitz, so stay tuned. Tonight, I'm back at 9 with much less talk, much more music, including birthday tributes to Joan Armatrading and Frank Sinatra. Fun stuff from 9 to 10 tonight. But don't go away in the middle. That is when Mike Shimeri plays smooth modern jazz on his show, The Instrumental Invasion. That's from 8 to 9. And then on other nights of the week, how about giving a listen to Joyce Keller, long-running radio psychic and giver of advice and romantic suggestions, Wednesday nights at 11. And speaking of romance, Friday nights at 6, catch Bobby D. Graham hosting Long Island's Dating. Saturday night, it's comedy followed by music. The Mikey and Jimmy Show in its new time slot, 5:30 to 6:30. And Vic Fusco hosting Labor Lines after that. And then 7:30 to 9, it's independent hard rock, Long Island bands getting their break on the Mr. Redman Music Show. For talk radio, catch the interesting interviews of Mr. Larry Davidson on WGBB Tonight, Thursday nights at 6. And finally, Sunday nights at 7, it's politics, current events, and topical topics on Your World with Joe Salzone. Thank you ever and again to my beloved wife, Joyce, for her passion, compassion, and companionship. Thank you, dear listener, for dearly listening. And thanks, as always, to Rabbi Saul Solomon for giving us just a taste of Hanukkah, an acrid, bitter, and metallic taste, but still, a taste nonetheless. And since this is the third night of Hanukkah, I think it's only right to end the show with another holiday ditty. It's actually Peter Fitzgerald's favorite Hanukkah song. I think he even had a hand in writing it, or perhaps his whole fist. The guitar, by the way, is played by my guest from the summer, Dustin Ehrlich, who disavows himself in every possible way from the song, but he was nice enough to play along. Thank you, Dustin, and thank you for staying tuned. Remember, I am back at 9 with Filler Up, and I'm back next week, December 16th, 7 p.m., with the 106th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. May all your dreidels land on Gimel and gone by. I have an anal dreidel. I keep it in my hole. I spin it with my muscles. It's quite a nice got dole. Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I keep it in my ass, and when it's high and ready, I twirl it with my gas. I have an anal dreidel, I keep it deep within, and if I eat my fiber, it never comes out shin. Oh, dreidel, 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 so tight between my cheeks, and when I spin it backwards, my anus hurts for weeks. I have an anal dreidel, it's tilted towards the gimel, and if it spins too quickly, I cry out, God in Himmel! I have an anal dreidel, I made it out of wood, and if you turn it slowly, it feels really, really good! Oh, anal, 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 a dreidel in my tush, I know you want to spin it, but watch out for the mush, take it, you! I have an anal dreidel, which doesn't make me gay. Although when I get butt-humped, they always hit the hay. Hey, dreidel, 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 I made you out of beads. And when I spin you upside down, my small intestine bleeds. I have an anal dreidel, and you might find that funny. But guess where the Grand Rebbe would keep his chocolate money? Oi, dreidel, 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 you're pressed against my sack. But still I love to keep you way up in my crack. Happy Hanukkah, everybody!